Well, glory to God, and welcome once again to Come to the Light radio program. Hi, my name is Pastor Paul Kamer of Light of Calvary Church, 540 North Dixie Freeway, right here in New Smyrna Beach. We are so excited, and we're having such a great time here at our church. I just pray that God is finding you blessed. I just pray he's pouring out his spirit upon you and good things are happening. If you're looking for a home church, why don't you come by and check us out right here at Light of Calvary on New Smyrna Beach. We've got a children's church called the Flickers of Light that's just opened up and good things are happening. Oh goodness, under the leadership of Pastor Thomas and Robin Sullivan, they are doing such a great job. Bring your little ones. Bring the whole family. We'd love to have you and visit you. Listen, our radio program is doing so good. We're getting testimonies. If you've been listening to our radio program and God has spoken to you through this or done something supernaturally for you, we'd love to hear it. We'd love to hear your testimony. Maybe call the office at 426-8240. We'd love to hear what God is doing and come by and visit us if you can. We have services on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. And Wednesday night at 7 p.m. And we're just having a wonderful, wonderful time. And I pray that the holidays has been good to you, that you had a great Christmas and Christ blessed you this year and so on. But we're looking forward to the new year now. It's coming up. By the time you hear this, it'll be New Year's. And we're putting forth our vision for 2006. We're just believing God. Our international ministry has exploded. God is just blessing us, and people from all over the world are calling and asking us to come. And we're just believing for that safe revival to happen right here in New Smyrna Beach, right here in Volusia County, that God is going to pour out his spirit in 2006. Is going to see a revival in Volusia County that we've never seen before. And I'm very, very excited. We've got a lot of good things getting ready to happen in our ministry, in our church. And I just pray that you can be a part of that. Well, I want to take a moment to thank my underwriters. They have been so good to us, and it's because of their faithful in unity and supporting us that allows us to come into your home every Sunday afternoon. Myron's Garage and Record Service. Go by there and tell him you heard it on the radio and that you thank him for his help. And Mr. Doug Henry from Advanced Heat and Air. And go by and see Karen at Karen's Restaurant at 409 Mary Avenue and tell him you heard on the radio that they're teaming up with us. And thank them because it's because of our sponsors that makes this possible to do this and to come into your home. Well, I've got a good message. It's going to be a two-part series this week and next week, and we're going to do part one this morning. I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 18 is where we're going to start. This message is going to speak to you, and I believe this with all my heart. So you get ready now for the Word of God to be anointed and to come into your home and speak to you and change your life forevermore. And I'll come back at the end and pray with you. And God bless you as you listen to the Word of God.
And said, wow, what just happened? And that's what we call out of the Bible the suddenlies that we like to preach on a lot because of that word. Suddenly something's going to happen. It's really not suddenly. It's really a long time of preparation. But it comes to a time period in your life or in the ministry or wherever that God has chosen this time for it to happen. And when that time gets there, it happens, and it seems like it happened very suddenly, but it really took a time, years maybe even, getting up to that point in time, if that makes any sense. You got to walk by faith, regardless whether it's in talking about ministry or talking about your life. You got to walk by faith. You got to have faith in God. What I want to talk about tonight in a roundabout way is faith. And I do a lot of talking and preaching about faith. But I'm coming at this tonight with a little bit of a different angle. Let me read one verse out of Luke 18 just to get us going here, if I can. Verse 8 of chapter 18 says, I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? You see, I believe that we have to see the world transformed. I'm talking about the world in general. Not just the Christian church, but the world outside. I believe God wants the world transformed. In another part of the Bible, Jesus said, all things are possible for him who believes. And I've quoted that verse. You've quoted that verse a lot. All things are possible in Christ. No, it says, all things are possible for him who believes. That word believes is faith. You got to have faith. And you and I both know that the end of the world, so to speak, end of the time for Christians here on earth, is coming. And the world is getting really bad. It's getting ugly outside. It's getting worse. And according to the Bible, the closer we get to the end, the worse it's going to get. I'm not painting you a rosy picture of the world. The world is going to get real bad. It's going to, as days go by, it's going to get worse and worse. But I'm not preaching a doom and gloom message, because even though the world outside gets worse, as long as the church meaning you and I, the saved, the chosen ones, the called out ones, the ones that have Jesus Christ in their heart, the blood bought, the born again, and so on, those are the church, not this building, not this ministry or any other ministry, but the actual saved people are the church. As long as the church is still here on the earth, then it's possible to transform the earth. And what I mean by transform, I mean revival. I'm not talking about revival in the church right now. I'm talking about revival out there in the world. Even though out there in the world it's going to get really ugly out, as long as the rapture hasn't happened, as long as we're still here on this earth, then we can transform. We can bring revival to the world. But you might say, wait a minute, hold it, Pastor. Jesus said that there'll be wars in the end times, and rumors of wars. How can you have wars and revival? I think it can be done. Let's go to another scripture in Luke. We're going to come back to 18, but let's go to chapter 21, just a couple chapters over, if you would. There's a lot of people preaching, the world's going bad. You know what? And we just need to get out of Dodge. We just need to get raptured, you know? No use worrying about the world. It's getting bad. Well, I don't think that's ever been Jesus' plan. I know a lot of people are getting scared because the end is near. Kind of like Chicken Little, the sky has fallen. And he went running around scared to death. That's the way I see a lot of Christians. See, I was never like that. What did you do when Y2K was coming? Okay. A lot of Christians get scared, worried. I know them are ugly words, and we know the Bible teaches not to use those words. I don't care whether you say or use a different term. That's what we did. I'm talking about Christians as a whole. I'm not pointing fingers. But I want to show you what God says. Yeah, there's going to be wars. There's going to be rumors of wars. But look at this. Look at chapter 21 of Luke. Look at verse 9. And when you hear of wars and revolutions, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away. I believe we're living in the time of wars and rumors of wars. But what that says is, don't be terrified. Don't be frightened. Don't submit to the fear of terrorism. But yet terrorism is very real, even in the United States. And even these old ugly guys that's causing this terrorism through their videotapes and what have you have quoted that America will live in fear. I've actually heard them say that. I'm sure you have too on the news and stuff like that. And you know what? We do. Now that's not to say we shouldn't have police protection and even military in our airports and stuff. That's not necessarily fear. That's being smart. Okay, but as God's chosen ones, as God's church, he said, don't be afraid. Don't submit to that spirit of fear. The Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and sound mind. See, this all goes, do you have the faith to believe the word of God? And I know we like to say amen. And in some areas we do. But I want you to go back into your mind in a time period where you was fearful or terrified. And you say, I didn't really get too upset with Y2K. I thought everybody was crazy over that. Well, Malachi chapter 3, starting in verse 8 on, says, you rob me of tithes and offerings. And it says, in this area, test me. Okay, has God ever asked you to give money that scared you? Because if he hasn't, you probably ain't listening to him. There's always an area. But God says, don't be afraid. Don't give in to that spirit of fear. Because I'm not giving, that's not me, that's God. I mean, that's the devil. I've given you love, power, and a very sound mind. I'm God. I'm in control. I can take care of things. Do you trust me? That's what he's really saying here to his church. So, if he's saying to us in this verse, don't be terrified. Don't be fearful. Then what really is he saying? He's saying be faithful. Trust me. Believe that God is getting ready to do something great. That's what he's trying to get across here. He said, hey, all this stuff's going to happen. Wars and rumors of wars going to happen. But don't be afraid. Because that's not the end. That stuff's got to happen. I ain't done yet. Don't be afraid. Don't give in to that spirit of fear. But trust me. Have faith in me. Believe that God is getting ready to do something great in your church and in your life. You see, this is one of the plays of the devil. That's talking about the end times of the world. But you can bring it right down to your home, to your life. To whatever you're fearful of. Whether it be your finances to pay your bills. Whether it be your home or your family salvation, whatever it may be, you don't have faith in that area. And you'll never grow or go beyond wherever you're fearful of until you learn to have faith in that area. I struggled for years over the finances of the church because we've always had more overhead than we've had income. It's always, and I've always been in my mind, I've always prayed over the money and worried about the money and God, you got to do this. And I can never overcome that until God got me to a point where I learned his seed time and harvest programs and I began to operate by faith without worrying. Even though in the natural, it doesn't look like anything can happen. There's no way. But I learned to have, instead of being fearful that I was going to lose everything like I did year after year for a while, I learned to reap his program apply his words the way he says it, and I became an overcomer in the area of money, and I still operate that way. That's not to say sometimes something will rock my little world and I'll have to go back to God and say, "What happened, God?" But as long as I'm living in fear of my finances, I'll always not have enough finances. I'll always be in that fear. And maybe you ain't in the financial ball game. Maybe it's sickness or disease. Maybe it's a deliverance of some kind, family salvation, whatever. Whatever it may be. As long as you're in that spirit of fear, that worry, that fearful spirit of whatever it is, God won't let you out of it until you learn to have faith. Does that make any sense to anybody? That's why we go around the block in the same area all the time, fighting the same battle. It's because we haven't learned to be faithful. He says, "Hey, don't give in to that spirit of fear, but trust me and have faith." Now go back to chapter 18. The last part of that sentence says, "Will he find faith on the earth?" Will he find faith on the earth? People get this verse wrong a lot. They read chapter 18 until it comes down to this verse, and they get it all wrong. They basically come out with the conclusion, if you look at the parable, the story that he's just told in the first seven verses, they get that verse 8 is saying he will not find faith in the earth. And that's wrong. That's not what he's saying. Jesus had just given them a parable to show his disciples that at all times, they ought to pray and not lose heart. Now I want you to go back to chapter 18 to the very first verse. I want to show you this. The very first verse says, "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up." That's the first verse he's telling them. Now jump down to verse 6. It says, "And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says." Now remember, he's just told a parable. "And will not God bring about justice to his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" He says, pray and don't lose heart. We love it when we do something and God acts right away. Pow, man, gee, I no sooner gave that money and he gave it back to me. I love that. I pray, or pastor prayed for my healing, and man, I got healed just like that. Wow. Can I tell you something? That don't take faith. You can write me a check today to stretch your budget and get it back before you get back to your seat, and it didn't take 1 ounce of faith to do that. Well, I should say it don't take as much faith. Does that make sense? I used to pray after stuff, and man, we called him the God of the midnight hour. He'd wait to the last possible second to bring my answer. And I used to throw my hands up in the air and say, "Why can't you come earlier?" And we may not say these words, but we think them. You know, why do I got to go through this? Man! He's teaching you faith. He's teaching you to trust him. Man, if every time you turned around, you did this, he did that. You did this, he did that. My goodness, you don't need no faith. He said no to the chosen ones, to the elect, to the ones that call out to me and cry out day and night. To those people, will I find faith? And I said, he's not saying He won't find faith. Remember, he says this is the end times. Will I find faith? No, it's a question. And his question is nothing more than a question. It's not a statement of fact. He's not stating the fact that I will not find faith. He's asking a question. When this time comes, and I judge the inhabitants of the earth, amongst the chosen or the elect, whichever your Bible translation uses, will I find faith? That's a question. That's not a question of a theological doctrine. And that's what they try to make this. That's a personal question to each one of you individually. Will he find faith in you? Because see, you're the chosen one. You're the elect of God, if you're saved and born again. And he's asking you personally, when this time comes, will I find faith? And that's only a question that can be answered by you or God. I can tell you about me, but I can't tell you about you. You know what else I want to talk about faith? I've just shown you that God wants you to have faith. But there's another area of faith that I think Christians, church, we let the ball down. Or we don't understand, maybe, should I say. That's prayer and faith. Prayer and faith are two different things. They're different. You can actually pray with no faith, and you can have faith with no prayer. Now, I'm just letting that sink in a little bit, but they're two different things. I've known people that pray that have no faith, don't believe in what they're praying, might say. They believe in the words, but they don't have the faith to believe that God heard them. There's a difference. I'm giving you a secret for God to come running to your rescue and answer your prayers. Because if your prayers are words, that's all they are. I can't stand it when churches says, now repeat this prayer after me. That ain't doing nothing, guys. That's not from your heart. It's probably not even from mine. It's something I read somewhere. I'm not saying it's bad. But I want to pray something that I can believe in myself and in Him. I want to know when I pray without a shadow of a doubt that He's heard me. You know why? Because the Bible says when He hears you, He must answer. That doesn't mean you'll get the answer you like. It just means He will answer. I'd rather get an answer from Him that I don't like than for Him not to hear me. I'm trying to go real slow on this because we need prayer, but it needs to be in faith. Because when you pray, and you just pray, and you don't know for real that God heard you or not, you're not really sure. You might quote a little Bible there and you believe the words that you're speaking, but you're not sure that the God that we serve, Jehovah Jesus Christ, even heard you. Well, you know what? There's no confidence in that prayer. And let me tell you what you're doing. And I'm going to use a natural thing. And I'm going to go back in the old days before we got saved in our lives. And if you've never been in this situation, you've probably seen the television shows. You're treating God like a bartender. You know, the bartenders are famous for hearing all the stories. The drunks come in and they unload their whole story on the bartender, their whole life, their problems, and da-da-da-da-da. That's kind of a prayer without faith. You're treating God like a bartender. You know what happens when you go in and you unload on a bartender? You feel better. It's temporary, but you feel better. You can go up to your buddy there and unload on him, and you'll feel better. Now, I don't mean get mad at him. I mean tell him your problems. You've had a bad day, so I go up to Fred somewhere along the line, and I give him all my garbage, all the problems. And I'm not saying that's totally wrong, but you're not praying it. You're not saying it in a way that you believe God is listening, that he's actually going to do anything. You're just unloading it. And you happen to be the guy that I can do that with. I feel better. Whew, man, I feel better. I got all that out of me. It's temporary. It won't last. Because there was no faith in anything. You just treated God like a bartender. And God was kind enough to listen, that's all. Or maybe he didn't listen. Because you really don't know. All you did was just unload your garbage. You poured out your problems on him and you feel better temporary, but there was no faith activated. You see, that's a prayer with no faith. Because here's the thing, if you pray really believing that he heard you, and you have the faith to know that he can really do all things, and this, whatever it is not too hard for him. And I know that God, Jehovah, Jesus Christ, my Savior, heard what I said today. Then you'll activate faith. You'll do something. Whether it just be in your actions or giving or whatever. But you'll do something because faith is action. It's not words. It's action. And when you unload on the bartender, you don't do a thing except for temporarily feel better because some poor old soul listened to you, or at least you think they did. It didn't really change anything. They just didn't tell you how stupid you was or you're wrong, or they just kind of let you talk. See, God will do that too if there's no faith. So I beat people up because people use words all the time. Well, I'm confessing. Confessing what? Quoting the Bible? I can quote that Bible, but if I do it with no faith, it ain't going to do nothing. He looks at your heart. Will I find faith on the earth? We need prayer. But without faith, it isn't nothing. I'm not saying just because you quote something to God that you, all right, he's heard, it's a done deal. You've got to have a relationship with him that you know, that you know, that you know. And when you pray something, sometimes you've got to pray it over and over and over until you know that he's heard it. Then you've got to know the promise of the word of God for that specific area. And God, your word says, and I know you've heard it, that's a done deal.
Well, there's never no good time to cut in, but we're running out of time, and that's going to conclude part one. Stay tuned next week. We're going to get a little deeper in this. You got to have faith. Listen, faith is an action. It's not just words. When you speak by faith, you got to do something to show your faith. If it's money, sometimes you got to sow a seed. Sometimes it's just believe it in your heart. Remember, confession of the words is of God. It is biblical. But God looks at your heart. If your words are not lining up with what's in your heart, then confess what's in your heart and get it changed so that the positive confession that you're making lines up with your heart, and then you'll see God answer. Well, again, until next week, may God keep you richly blessed, and we'll see you next week right here, same time, same place. God bless you.